So I think we are live. So hey all, welcome to the 11th episode of the All About It Film podcast or stream. I'm Aditya and I'm joined by my two wonderful panelists, Suresh and Sankalp. Well, things have taken a turn over the last 2 weeks, right? All of a sudden, wildcard is looking more likely with the fixture postponements here and there. So wildcard 8 versus wildcard 9 is one of the key talking points, and even wildcard 13 also, because of the Arsenal City game being postponed for Arsenal's game against Eindhoven to be played somewhere around that time. So that's something that is a huge thing. And so one more thing added to our headache. And these are going to be our talking points, as this is going to be a stream that is solely dedicated to wildcard and the players around it, who shall we go around. So we'll talk about the wildcard, game week 8, the pros and cons, the looking at the fixture ticker until the World Cup. Then we'll talk about the players to pick, the obvious ones, the differentials, and ending with our bus teams. And if me and Suresh might end up with wildcarding, so we'll see what will happen over the next 24 hours. So no,
this conversation is going to be really important. I'm almost on a cat on a wall situation. Let's see how this goes.
You know, I feel so good as a non-wildcarder because I don't have that tension. But still, I feel a bit nervous that I'm not a wildcarder.
Yeah. So the names that are displayed on the screen are the current transfer trends for the amount of players we got in, the numbers. Obviously, the entire list here is the wildcard train going on with Nick Pope, Trippier, Perisic, KDB, Bowen, Madison, Mitrovic, Isak, and Kane. All of them are being the hot most got in players. And likewise, if you look at the other side, that's the players being shipped out. That's Sanchez, obviously, from Brighton, as they have a blank this week. Potter also leaving. People are less and less, you know, getting, you know, they're not having enough faith in Brighton all of a sudden now. Trent, and I think the triple Liverpool is out at the moment. Trent, Salah, Diaz, obviously, with a blank, not a great start of the season. Inconsistent performances probably is going on the case there. Gross, the same reason with Sanchez. Gabriel Jesus, same thing. People are going to try out different players, and Ivan Toney. So these are probably the key transfer out so far. So
we have 64k Ivan Toney transfers, which I don't understand.
I was just looking at. I'm even more surprised for Gabriel Jesus as well.
Correct. Maybe these are the guys who, you know, hit that transfer early and don't have a wild card like. Wow.
Yeah. Could be.
So we'll move on to the next segment very quickly. That's the biggest talking point, obviously, going around, floating around over the last few days. Should we wildcard now or post the international break? That is what we look at for now. Game week 13 is something separate. We'll just discuss it briefly here and there. So Sankalp, can you take us through this particular segment?
Sure. So basically, what are the pros of doing hitting it now? You know, you both are on the verge of hitting that wild card. So what is the pro? For me, the pro is we now know that there are a lot of blank fixtures this week. When you are making a wild card, at least you can transit. You don't have to take any hits. You know, for example, a player like a manager like me, I have to take a -4 just to get 10 players in. Right? And I'm feeling good that I have 10 players, but looking at your teams, right, I'm sure you would easily manage 11 players, right, and 11 good players, and keep the blank guys, but good blank guys on the bench, right? So that's a huge pro. The other pro is a lot of the teams were on that, big at the back or big at the medium model. Most of the people had two forward options and the last option was Archer. So now people can upgrade it, right? You can attack Mitrovic, Kane, Isak, and all three people have good fixtures this week. That is a huge pro for me, right? And target Newcastle and West Ham, right? So you see people getting in Isak, you see people getting in Bowen, right? This is primarily because their fixtures are good this week, right? What's the con? Con is, we saw, a lot of people are transferring out Jesus, but he has a match to play, and Arsenal are still, a good team. With a good interior metrics, right? So they might still do well, and that will really hurt any wildcard, right? That's a huge pro. Second is zoned into avoiding blank fixtures, right? Your team obviously can have only three players from your non-blank you know, teams, right? Or from a blank teams, right? And that is a problem because you have a lot of good teams or a lot of good options coming over the next 2-3 weeks. Ideally, when I wildcard, I always like to look at the next 5 fixtures, 6 fixtures and, you know, have a long-term view. I don't think that you guys will be able to do because it can be a max of 3, right? You cannot play with 10 players on a wildcard. And international break, right? It's a tradition that most of the FPL managers follow. You like to do it only post the international break. Not this time, right? Game week 9, what are the pros? You have that IB, you know, things sorted. You know which player played well, where, how many minutes he played, where did he travel, and you take your, you know, conscious decisions accordingly. Apart from that, obviously, like we're discussing in the last game week, right? A lot of the managers' news, right? Be it Gerard, be it Brendan Rodgers, right? And a new Brighton manager. All these news will be coming post this international break. And that might give you a good clue on which are the teams to target, right? And there's a slight transition, like we're talking about, you know, teams like Leicester, Crystal Palace, who have a blank week this time in game week 8. They move out in game week 9. They have good teams there and you can actually target it, right? And cons are similar to that of game week 8. You have to, you know, you have to time out. You have to move out of your Arsenal and Spurs assets, but they have a, you know, good fixtures. They have a fixture where they are playing each other and it can be a high scoring week, right? You have to take hits to play this week out. Ideally, most teams, most managers will take a you know, -4, even though they are wildcarding next week. And then you have only 4 weeks to attack the differences. And why 4 weeks? We'll get down to it in the coming fixtures. Why it's only 9 to 12 that we are looking at is something that we'll see in the next slide. So anything from you guys, you know, because both of you are into that mode?
Yeah, for me, it is like I'm with 2 free transfers. I will most likely, probably 70-30%, I would say. I'm still on the, you know, verge of wildcarding next week rather than this week. But for me, the concern is the number of players that I have. Though, you know, we can, for the sake of count, I can say I might field 11 players, 2 free transfers with a hit. But at what cost? I'm going to take a -4. I might have the likes of, you know, Danny Ward, Nico Williams, Andres Pereira, probably, yeah, he could come out with something. But the other two, you know, you can hardly rely on them, you know, in terms of getting any sort of points out of this game week. That's one of the downsides, you know, using the free transfers and, you know, going with a hit or something. Same if you shift focus to using the wild card next week. You know, in terms of the international break that you told about, you know, injuries and rotations and availability, that's a very key thing that I feel. You know, this is going to be the last international break before, you know, World Cup begins. So most of the national teams want to have their most important players engaged in some form or the other, you know, having a couple of games, minutes shared across some of the key players internationally, as well as, you know, some of the players that do take a part in our FPL teams would be involved. So that's a key risk always moving into international break and, you know, having that cushion of either two free transfers or having something like a wild card makes sense. So I don't know, we can make a case for both, but I'm still leaning towards wildcarding into game week 9. But let's see if that transitions, you know, changes my mind by the end of this pod. Aditya?
Where are you, Aditya?
Yeah, so I have triple Liverpool. So, you know, the straight thought that comes to me is take a -4, ship them out. Get in the big players. Obviously, for Salah, you're going to get KDB. For Diaz, you will get someone like Bowen, Madison, somebody in that range. And then if you remove Trent, you can go for Trippier. So, I can get those three players. More or less, I will have Martinelli, Erling Haaland here and there. I might just miss out on those more talked about players like Mitrovic, Nick Pope and all. But I think I can kind of survive this week with 10 players and with a -4 and then maybe look at game week 9. So I think it is more or less squad dependent based on how many players you have this week and with a -4 or a -8. If you're able to fit 10 to 11 players, you could get away. And then maybe next week, again, rethink on Salah and the Liverpool assets if you want them back now or plan to follow this. Again, it weighs in both the ways. So I'm more or less on the game week 9 wild card also.
Perfect. So sounds good. Now let's get into the fixtures and, you know, look at things a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a fixture ticker that we have from game week 8 to game week 16, right? What I've also done is we have created a swing, you know, fixture swing, where we have put down the rank of teams, right? So you see game week 8 to 12, Fulham has a rank of game, you know, 1, right? So it has the best fixtures from game week 8 to 12. And correspondingly, you see Liverpool with a game week rank of 20, right? So they're the last team when it comes to game week 8 to 12. And this obviously includes the fact that there are blanks as well, right? So that further, you know, takes out the advantage, right? And game week 13 to 16, right? We have a different set of fixtures, right? So looking purely as a fixture ticker, you will see Everton, Newcastle, Fulham, Bournemouth, Leicester, right? These are your top 5 teams, right? And that's where you see a lot of people moving on into these transfers, going for Patterson, for the likes of, you know, Pope and Trippier, and even Isaac, you know, triple Newcastle. And we have some Leicester, you know, Madison, West Ham also, Bowen, you know, kind of transfers coming. Now, this is purely looking into a fixture from game week 8 to 16, you know, or long-term view, right? But the problem here is the fixture swing, right? And you see the teams that you want to target, for example, Fulham, right? It has exceptional fixtures from 8 to 12, but it changes drastically from 1 to 15, right? Now, ideally, you would be like, okay, it's okay. I will always move out, right? Within 4 weeks, I can move out. Similarly for Leicester, you know, I can go with a 4-week target and then move out. Newcastle, you know, Nottingham also has a very similar rate. Now, the problem is the reverse part, right? You are selling your players from Liverpool, right? You are selling your players from City. You are selling your players from Arsenal. Primarily, it's, I think, Liverpool, Arsenal, and some United, you know, players being sold, right? Now, the challenge is how will you get all these premium guys back into your team without a wildcard, right? And that for me is the biggest challenge, because when you sell away a Trent and a Salah, right, the world opens up for you FPL-wise, and you can do n number of things, right? And you can create a very beautiful balanced squad where you will have a lot of worries about whom to play. But when you want to assimilate that cost, that money back, and, you know, get the likes of Salah back, the Trent back, especially if they get into a form, that's when you'll face a lot of challenges, right? So now that you look at these blanks and now that you look at, you know, these kind of swings, right, what are your thoughts?
So for me, see, I get your concern. I mean, I get your point, you know, transitioning out of these premiums and reassembling back without a wildcard is going to be a, you know, tedious task. That's for sure. But on the flip side, if you see, at least for the limited data that we have for the first 6 game weeks, Haaland has become an almost a perma captain kind of a material. You know, he is the Salah that we saw in the previous seasons. You know, where we can trust someone week in, week out, give him the armband, and you know, you have the rest of the squad to make up to whatever it can. So, given that kind of a scenario, I know City don't have an ideal set of fixtures. You know, they have a mix of Man United, they have Liverpool, they have a blank in 12 and all that. But having said that, how many times you're going to move your captaincy out of Haaland, you know, to someone like Salah? You know, Salah's form is another concern. You know, Liverpool's performance on the whole is a different talking point altogether. But my point being, it is one in a you know, million times opportunity where you can move out of Salah, at least for a few weeks. There could be ways where you can get him back. You know, the likes of, if you are, as Aditya mentioned, if you are shipping out Salah, you'd be looking someone equally premium, like a KDB, where it gives an easy option to swap him back as well. Let's say KDB, you want to try for 3 or 4 weeks, and once they have the blank, you can flip him back to someone like Salah if you want for that particular run until the, you know, international break or the World Cup break. So yes, there is a transition in terms of 8 to 12 and 13 to 16 when we see the fixtures in a set of block, but at the same time it gives us an opportunity to try and explore a different set of players, you know, probably a very rare case of moving out of Salah. That's what you know, I would feel.
But do you need a wildcard to do that? I mean, The idea is, you know, getting back these players require a wild card, right? Moving out does not necessarily require a wild card, right? Maybe a minus four now, maybe a minus four next week, right? Can you think of a situation where you do it without a wild card and maybe, you know, use a wild card only to, just to get them back?
No, no, not necessarily, right? That's what I'm suggesting. So moving out is going to be like super easy. Let's say Salah to KDB as an example. It's going to be the same way. You know, you hardly need another transfer. Let's say you have two accumulated transfer in a particular week. Let's say you want Salah back in game week 12 when City have a blank. So if you just have two free transfers going into that week, it's going to be really simple. KDB plus one of the other players so that you can get Salah back easily. That's one of an example. But, you know, it's not necessary that you need a wild card to just get someone like Salah in. Or let's say a combo of Salah and Trent. Let's say if you have a placeholder like Cancelo and placeholder like KDB, similar price packet players, you know, if we have that sort of a thing, we can probably play around with, you know, two free transfer plus a hit or one transfer plus a hit. You can play multiple ways. So it is not necessary that you need a wild card for that. But it again, if you are spreading it out, you know, into different forms of, you know, 8 million midfielders, let's say, as you told, by the looks of it, it will look really good. You know, you have multiple options, as you told. You might have benching headaches, whom to start and whom to bench and all that. In that scenario, yes, your point makes complete sense. It'll be tedious process to, you know, reassemble getting Salah back or Trent back. But if you are redistributing the funds to another premium, equal premium option, then it's going to be easy.
Correct. Makes sense. Aditya, what are your, you know, thoughts? You know, looking at purely at a game week 8 to 16 fixture, right? Any teams that you really are, you know, attracted towards?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we can see the fixtures swing itself. I mean, people are running after Fulham players, especially Mitrovic. Burnley also, people are not talking about, maybe as a 4.5 million goalkeeper. And then, obviously, the Newcastle players are getting a lot of love, with especially Trippier and Pope. And then now it is Isak. And then it could be Saint Max, who's apparently not fit to play this weekend again. So, we'll see. So, yeah. Again, those are prominently the teams we see more or less, right? But even if you look at game week 9, we have Palace and Leicester who have a better run of games who start. So we'll move on to the next slide also, because that for game week 9 wildcard people, the bunch of managers, they will start loading up on Zaha, Mitchell, Gaita, Olise, Eze, all those set of players here and there. So it is more or less when you time your wild card who you want to get in, but with the bigger picture around Salah, Trent and all those big players, it's about how you build your squad and how much of funds you keep in the bank. That is more important. So if you get somebody like KDB for Salah, obviously logically Salah is 12.9, KDB is 12.2, you might roughly need around 1 million for that in case KDB drops in price, Salah goes up back. So keep that again. And then the same with Trent. If you have Reece James or Cancelo, those are probably the closest upgrades to them. But will you love to remove them out for Trent, or you would remove somebody like Trippier for Trent again after the fixture swing happens for Newcastle? So that's again, there's one thing there. So it's how you structure your squad. And yes, we always say it's obviously ideal to evenly distribute your funds everywhere. But in this case, you're always having that thought inside your head, right? If Liverpool come back to form, how am I going to get all of these two players back and all those things? So you need to keep those funds with you, and you need to keep one, two players who go off immediately if you want to get them back. So that's how it's going to work.
I mean, one thing that I really liked looking at the ticker is suddenly you see Chelsea on the third spot, right? When we look at game week 8, your top 5 fixture-wise, you know, teams are not the best teams, right? So you are just looking at punts, you know, purely from a fixture point of view. But when we move to a game week 9 wildcard, you have the likes of Chelsea and Newcastle in the top 5, right? And even United is very close. You can see, you know, 6th or 7th, right? So very close there. So you can now start punting into better teams, perhaps, when you look at, you know, a game week 9 wildcard over a game week 8 wildcard, right? And now that we know that we have an international break, Potter takes Potter, you know, gets more time with his players, maybe Chelsea will look far better than they have looked so far.
Yes, I mean that obviously the international break gives us the leverage of, you know, thinking more. We have more time and more data, injury updates, you know, managers going in and out if such situation happens. So yeah, that's also going to play a key role. And there was something which I was going to say, which just completely went off. I don't know what I was going to say.
And considering we have, you know, United fans in the group here, right? So now that you're going game week 9, right? And you have United there in the, you know, 7th or the 8th spot, right? And just take out that City fixture and you have a good run of fixtures post that, right? Are you looking at anyone, you know, particular to put into your wildcard drafts?
Can we move on to the next segment and we'll start covering up, you know, teams?
Sure, right? Because
sure. It start looking disjointed. So we'll go on to the next one. That is obviously the players to target. I think we'll cover more in depth. So these are the goalkeepers, obviously, the players that are being bought in by a lot. Nick Pope is as one that race very easily. Yes, everybody's going the Pope way. And Leno, Henderson and all are the lower budget options. Obviously, Raya and all. But there are a couple of other options here in the Nexa.
Yeah. Fixture-wise, I think Leno and Henderson have a good sort. At least for your those 8 to 12, right? If you want to target 8 to 12, both of these are 4.5, 4.7 guys. And they are very good fixtures.
So, Begovic is basically for Pickford. I think he's out for a month or so. And he's 4 million goalkeeper who will play. And Everton, yeah, they can put up a fight and defend. So, it's just that case. I think Gaita-Begovic pair also, I think, is starting to be spoken a lot. I think Palace's run of fixtures from 9 improves a lot. And defensively, they've been playing well under Vieira. So, I think that's why I'd put Gaita there. At least for the couple of other players.
The interesting fact about Nick Pope is though, you know, I'm sure you guys might have seen this already. In terms of the last 6 game weeks, you know, they are the worst team to concede most shots on target. And Nick Pope somehow has come out, emerged successfully with more fantasy points because of the enormous amount of saves that he has made. He is top for saves in the last 6 game weeks, 28 saves. You know, that somehow, you know, is working in his favor. So that's a little bit of caveat. I know most of us have one Newcastle defender already. We might be looking at the likes of Nick Pope. But this is a small bit of caveat that you should always have in the back of the mind. You know, they're equally, you know, bad. They're probably 5th or 6th bad for the big chances conceded, which is 13 in total. So that's a little caveat I wanted to put here.
So it makes sense when you look at the fixtures were difficult for Newcastle. You know, early on they faced Liverpool, they faced you know, Manchester City. Now the fixtures get easier, right? So Nick Pope will not get the number of saves that he's getting, right? So you have that clean sheet as an attraction, but at the same time, you know, that bonus thing might go away, right? Which is actually luring us into him now. What will be his, you know, ownership, you guys? What do you think? You know, looking at the way things are going by game week 9, how much do you expect?
Probably somewhere around 20. I don't think it's going to be, you know, explosive beyond that, given that we have more number of options as well. You know, he's 5.1, so people still want to spend the funds elsewhere, probably, you know, go a little bit cheaper.
The thing is that if Pope's price goes up to 5.2, 5.3, Ederson is just 5.5, right?
Exactly the point.
So you'll rather go with Ederson, someone who's just a reliable from Man City, will play the bulk of games, will not get rotated, hopefully, but we don't know Pep, but he plays for City, so that's one assurance you have. So again,
and also Laporte is back, so
yes,
that's an added advantage for City's defense.
Stones is playing, Laporte is back. City defensive options have come up. The interesting thing about the goalkeeper slot is we still don't have a, you know, one primary winner so far. By last year, we had Ramsdale. By the year before, we had Emi Martinez.
We have Danny Ward. Sankalp, what are you talking?
Danny Ward is one of the top players for the price. He's the emergency two-pointer. You should be very happy we're at least getting an odd game. He'll keep a clean sheet. He'll do what he has to do. So I think you should not expect him.
And the comments also is good. Brendan Rodgers' comments have also been good and bringing some confidence into the player probably. So he has told that the clean sheet would come. He's a top goalkeeper and stuff. So yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, I was just
I've read some of that Iverson might leave and all something. So I don't know if that might happen. So there was.
I've seen people taking Iverson on their wildcard. I don't know what you're going to make out with 0.1. Just have what there, irrespective of what it is. So you're not going
to. It's just how poor Ward is, right? So they are confident that at some point of time he's going to get dropped, and at least I have the backup keeper who's going to play.
this is 8D chess move kind of a thing.
So what I really liked is you have Ward with 26% ownership, you have Sanchez with 17%, Ederson with 16.7, Pope with 15%, Alisson with 14%, and Mendy with 14%. So there's just no clear winner in this, area bracket so far, right? So at some point of time, this is going to change, and I feel this wild card, you might see all these people who are selling, at least the Alisson sellers, right? They will sell them for selling for sure. The Sanchez sellers, right? This money will start getting into Pope. So somehow I have a feeling that he'll become this season's Ramsdale or Emi Martinez. It might not be results wise, but ownership wise, I think it'll start moving into 30%, 40%. Because I remember Ramsdale at some point of time was close to 40% last year, right? Around this period of time, around game week 8-9. Right. So this will be interesting to see everyone on Pope.
Yeah, I mean, we have a couple of other goalkeepers at 4.9 now. It's De Gea from United. Mendy is also 4.9. Alisson has dropped to 5.4. And Emi Martinez is also, I think, has dropped to 4.9 or somewhere. So
he's again, also injured as well, Martinez.
Yeah, he's ill. He's ill. But I mean, I'm seeing the price, some of the good goalkeepers, like Mendy could play well under Potter. You don't know if Kepa might also get a chance. So you have all those other things here and there. So you might end up getting a better goalkeeper from a better team rather than going for Nick Pope, who is more popular now because of the saves he has made. It's the same trend over the last few years. The teams that concede more shots have the best goalkeepers to get more points, obviously because they save the bonus and all those things. That's how it works. So goalkeepers done and dusted. Let's go to defenders. I mean, again, the same train here again, the same set of players with the same set of teams. So, Trippier, Botman, Cancio, Chelsea defenders, you just categorize right them from the best till the other options. Perisic also is a good shout. I think after game week 10 or so, their fixtures 11, 12 starts getting better. But the one thing is that the rotation is obviously an issue. Then we have from West Ham, we have Emerson. But Creswell might be back. So that is a doubt there whether Emerson keeps his place or not. So Soufal might end up getting more chances as a right back. And Creswell is also 4.8. Obviously, Neco Williams, the next couple of games look good. And then the Crystal Palace defenders. So any other players you guys would like to add here or talk about?
I am really interested to see who can be the other Newcastle defender that we can go for apart from Target, right? So we have Botman here. So Target is now back, right? And is a good attacking fullback as well, someone to look at. You have Botman coming in with Burn is also there, right? So they have good players, good defenders and good, height guys, right? Center backs. So while Botman makes sense, you can go with someone like Burn at 4.5. Target is at 4.9. Scar is at 4.7, right? These are all good options. So that's, again, you have that Nick Pope alternative, right? So Nick Pope price will go to your 5.2. And if you need money, you can save 0.5. Going with reliable options like Burn, Scar, and even Botman is at 4.4, right? A very good price to save on and use that money to get Ederson.
For me, the really interesting option is going to be Wesley Fofana. So I'm just waiting to see, how he is going to settle in. Probably if you're wildcarding, it's not going to harm your team in any way. 4.4, 4.5 million probably by next week or two. So if he gets into regular minutes under Potter, 4.4 or 4.5 million defender from a Chelsea defense under Potter, you can't ask for a better player or a better value from an FPL perspective. You know, even if he's going to get rotated a few games, still I would suggest that, you know, Fofana plus Reece James or Fofana plus someone else, if you're going on the Chelsea defense, that's going to be really interesting. Fofana is someone I'm really waiting to see and, you know, see things how work and stuff. So that's one player I'm really interested in.
Interesting. 4.4, he's your Saliba replacement, right? So if you're on Saliba and you want to move out of Arsenal defense like everyone else, makes all the sense. You know, Fofana is a good player. Given his price, he's expected to start. And Potter does make your defense look better, right? At least at Brighton, they were, you know, underperforming the stats. Given the quality that Chelsea has, you would expect them to start doing better in a week or two.
Yes. So I think you've covered defenders. Most of the talked about defenders.
Anyone on Emerson? Anyone on Emerson? Because one interesting thing that I saw yesterday on, I think Blackbox it was, and they were looking at, you know, the XG conceded metric, right? West Ham is there in top 5 in the XG conceded, you know, score table. But we have just not looked at them because, you know, they have always looked huffy-puffy. But now we have an option available. Emerson is there. I think it was about 4 million.
Yeah, Emerson is someone, another player I'm interested in. I kind of put him in the draft as well, which we'll talk about in a little while. Emerson is really good option at 4 million, you know. Emerson and Nico Williams, we have somewhat come a little bit off the, you know, big at the back kind of a thing, a theory. We are pushing our funds to the forwards where we have more options. So Nico Williams and Emerson kind of a combination gives you that little bit of cushion. Nico Williams, we almost know he's playing, getting regular minutes. Top it up with Emerson. So, you know, we can have two good really options.
And do you feel Neko is now someone that can be dropped? I mean, he's not exactly reached the heights that we were expecting. I don't think we got any assist, maybe one so far.
But his attacking numbers are still looking good in terms of penalty area touches, in terms of attempts. If you look at the first six games, in terms of total attempts, he is number one. In terms of penalty area touches, he is probably number three. So his underlying numbers are still pretty good. So I won't move him off. At 4 million, is still a good value.
Yeah, I think 4 million defenders, Williams is a very obvious choice. I think just don't make the sideways move to Emerson. Doesn't make sense. So next we'll go on to midfielders, and this is the list here. And some of them are obvious names. Some of them are a little bit different. We've included here and there. Some players you would like to consider down the line in 1-2 weeks, just an early shot because you need to build your team, keeping those in mind. So it's obviously KDB. Then we have Heung-Min Son, who's not looking good. Kulusevski might have lost his place with Richarlison, or there's rotation there. The Madison has a good run of games from game week 9 onwards. If not, again, with Harvey Barnes, who's 6.9, Madison is 7.9. Bowen is 8.1. Everybody's looking at Bowen just because of the fixtures. But West Ham, again, this season, they're very inconsistent, right? So we don't know who to go for. So, okay, we find Bowen. Okay, yeah, so he looks good. Then we have...
it's purely to do with the fixtures, I believe. I think probably we'll pick and choose some of the, you know, interesting picks. Obviously, the likes of Kevin De Bruyne goes without a saying. But probably, you know, in the interest of time, let's pick and choose a couple of players who is interesting. For me, it is like, I'm really surprised with the number of transfers for Bowen. You know, given his form and underlying numbers, it's purely to do with, you know, last season, you know, bias or whatever you can call, or the fixtures probably, lack of players availability. You know, we have limited number of players to select from. That's one player I'm really surprised more people are going, you know, buying in. One player I'm really interested in is Anthony Gordon. So this might be a little surprising coming from me. People who know me, I've really not recommended Anthony Gordon as an FPL player in the past. But I would like to change that stance. You know, FPL is something where you have to adapt and change the way you think, with the way you look at players and stuff. So these two are players who are standing out, where Gerard Bowen is transferred in bulk, whereas
104k. That's a nice stat. Zero goals, zero assists, one shot on target so far for Bowen.
Exactly.
And he has 104k transfers.
That's mind-boggling for me. Whereas Anthony Gordon for 5.5, you can obviously get in someone like him. He's pretty much playing a more attacking role and fixtures are looking good.
The only difference, I was looking at Gordon really closely. I was thinking, I might jump in there. He's there fourth on the list, so people are going there. The only difference is he was playing as a forward, for the last 4 weeks. And now we have Mope coming and taking that slot. And I think DCL is almost ready as well to come back, right? So you might see him change his role. He'll no longer be that closer to the goal. He'll be, focusing a lot more on creating. But you have a fit DCL and a Mope, taking those crosses, taking those passes. At his price, it makes sense, if you're looking to downgrade a Martinelli or still looking for a Bailey or a Neto replacement. Strong punt, fixtures are there for the taking. The guy's on form. He'll find his way to get some points.
Yes. So I think I was going through Bowen and then we had a brief conversation here. so the next name is Raheem Sterling. That's the sort of trademark move to Salah back, right? KDB Sterling Salah. That is what is going on over the last few days. I will get Sterling for Villa game, then I'll ship out Sterling to Salah. So that's the train going on at this point.
So the problem with anyone, non-City asset is whoever you take, you need to stick to him for 3-4 weeks so that you get his points, right? Someone like Sterling, I moved to from Salah to Sterling last week. It looked like a good fixture where he'll get some points. No, right? And he scored in the Champions League fixture and you might get another blank when they play the next night. So someone like Sterling, I don't think that team is so settled attacking by Chelsea to give you regular points, right? Even the fact that he's at a premium of 10 million, 10 or 9.9, whatever is the price, it does not still give you guaranteed consistent returns, right? If you're going there, wherever you're going, you need to sit down a bit, for the 2-3 weeks. And I think Sterling has Crystal Palace away, again, not an easy fixture in game week 9. Then he has Wolves at home, Aston Villa away. This is a 3-week punt that I would take and I would see, how things are. And at the same time, you will keep on evaluating, players like Bruno, Sancho, right? And see if I want to jump off, where do I jump off? But if you're taking them, stick for those 2-3 weeks. It's the same with Jaha. I know he's on form, but I know if I take him, I just don't know whether he gives us returns, right? Very difficult to... Once you go off Salah, you just don't know whether these people will still keep on giving you returns. You have to understand that you have to hope a bit as well.
Yes, that's the issue, right? It's been set in our minds that Salah is Mr. Consistent and this season, unfortunately, things are not going according to the script with Liverpool. Trent, Salah, Luis Diaz, Nunez, who joined recently, not been up to the mark, and Robertson also. So people, I think, kind of lost patience there and like, okay, who should I get in? This fixture looks nice, right? Fixture run looks good when I'm going to get these players. Then that's the thing that is happening now. If Liverpool were playing well and if the blank was there, as in the people would have kept Salah and Trent on their bench even if with a wild card. So things would have been different. We have done that in the past over the last 2-3 seasons or so. So the thinking has changed just solely because of the form that's playing a very important part here. So the remaining other players from City obviously were Phil Foden and Bernardo Silva. Bernardo Silva looks well again this season. I think finally City have found their front six properly with KDB, Rodri, Gundogan, Bernardo, Haaland and Foden. So I think that's kind of a set.
I'm looking very closely at Bernardo. I might get him from Gross, move from Gross, right? And one interesting thing is I always thought Bernardo is a guy who will not play a lot. But I saw last match he played 70 minutes against Villa and the three matches prior to that, he played all entire 90 minutes. It blew my mind. And I was like, okay, he seems to be consistent. And he's not starting in the Champions League matches either.
And there is one other interesting thing with Silva is that he plays United next game. He always does well against
he's
us.
He's going to side net scoring.
Exactly. Finding those pockets of spaces Silva does that incredibly well against us, and it's going to be a crucial play of for City next game. So from that perspective as well, Silva beats him.
Yeah, Bernardo Silva always reminds me of what Juan Mata was a few seasons back. You know, how well he finds this pocket of spaces. He makes those drifting runs. He'll be behind, creating, open up space. Great player. Enough of wowing Man City players now. Then we have Leon Bailey in the list. I think he's probably all of the managers who got him at 5, like me, who shipped him out for Aronson a few weeks back. He scores a goal. Now we might wildcard. We might ship out Aronson back for Bailey. How things have turned over the last few weeks. It's just going south. Then we have Lingard. Lingard is at 5.7, I think. And it's just solely because of Forest's next couple of games with good end. It's a punt, basically. That's what we are looking over the next few weeks.
But a very risky punt, I would say.
That's a risky punt. Then the last three players we've mentioned is obviously United. And after the City game, United players... somebody
and
can
just
keep an eye
out. So we are talking about United, Jadon Sancho has scored on the ongoing Europa League fixture. Add the Jadon Sancho appeal for next week onwards.
Yeah, so Bowen to Sancho is locked for many of them in the next few weeks. So that they can get Trent from Trippier. So all those moves here, and then we're done with it.
I can't believe people are booking transfers for a Manchester United player in FPL.
The things
never
been...
say never. Never say never, right?
Yeah.
Two good matches against Liverpool and Arsenal. I think it makes sense, right? Rashford is second in the points list now for midfielders.
And no one would have thought this at the beginning of the season.
I thought, and I transferred him out for Martinelli in game week 3. Look what I did.
Good move.
Good move. I should have had more patience. That's the thing, right? The game is fast pacing. Things change dramatically. And form is like, once you score, it just clicks and it goes on. That's how football is. And we need patience with many players, especially with Mo Salah. You know, he just needs one game. Liverpool needs... Obviously, had the 9-0 game, but you know, things are not going well. We'll go to forwards here. Obviously, the top three on this list is just the front three of wildcard.
Yeah, I think we don't even need to speak on the front three. Haaland, Kane and Mitrovic. I think it goes without a saying, I believe.
So,
anyone going Kane? I'm again looking at a Darwin cell, and Kane is someone that I'm looking at purely from a fixture point of view, right? Leicester at home looks like a very captainable fixture, right? And Haaland goes Wolves away. I know it's not captaining Haaland is feels like a big sin now. It's like, you know, Salah of last season. But that fixture really appeals me. You know that Kane will do something. And this is at home. And post a poor match at Champions League, right? So, you know Conte will be on them, right? And that's one of the major reasons that I see a lot of people thinking about Sun as well, right? You know they are not on form. But at the same time, you have this feeling, right? It's like Liverpool 9-0, Bournemouth, right? You know Leicester will concede 3 goals. And Son, if has a goal and assist, it's just a double point, you know, double digit off.
Yes, another player we have from Spurs is Richarlison, who has looked kind of well in spells for Spurs. And obviously, he also scored, I think, a brace against Marseille in the previous Champions League game, the one which happened now. And I think with Kulusevski, we don't know the rotation there. And then, so if Richarlison keeps up his place, he might be an alternative to Kane, but we can't expect those bulk of points what Kane might give you. So again, that's the thing. Then we have obviously Newcastle's Alexander Isak, or Isak, hopefully I pronounce it properly. And Wilson might be back post the international break. I think that's one thing to keep an eye. Watkins is there, but Watkins is ill, is what we've got the news from the press conference update. So he might play or he may not play. That's what. And then we have Che Adams and Solanke, whose games get better post-game week 9 onwards. So, these are probably the...
Yeah, Solanke is someone, at least from what I have listened to a couple of Bournemouth fans and other forums that I have read across. Solanke is someone who would be an interesting option in a couple of weeks' time. Probably if we see a little bit more from him I think he is going to be a real, really good option. All right, so I think we'll move on from forwards, or is there anyone else you want to speak?
I think we are done with forwards. We have covered most of the players. I don't think you missed out. I think there was Gabriel Jesus there just on that list. So that is more or less a hold for this week if you're not wild carding and then you assess. But some other people will circle back later. That's going to happen, obviously. Sure. So these are the couple of questions we got from Instagram. We'll cover these. We'll also answer your questions to those who are watching this live. Please drop your questions in the chat and we'll cover them as well. So the first one is an optimistic fan says, I think Trent and Salah will regain form. I think they will. They will, but only time will tell. That's what we all can say.
I think one factor what makes that people to think that is probably Thiago's return. So that's that. This is something I touched upon in the previous pod that we did as well. But Thiago getting back is going to help them definitely, both attack as well as defense. So hopefully, let's see.
And just want to add, I was looking at Trent's number from last season. Last season, second half, he had 4 assists. Entire from game week 19 to 38, he had 4 assists. And this season, I think it's 1 or 0, right? So
0 assists.
It's like
just 1 goal.
0 assists. So 25 matches and you just have 4 assists, right? I think at some point of time, we just have to accept, this is how it is, right? And it seems if you have to move out of one person, yeah, Trent and Salah, I would still move out of Trent because I don't see him as dangerous now. If Salah still remains close, he's still giving you points, right? It just feels that it's not enough points for a captaincy, and which makes sense. But he's still giving us points, right? Wherever you move from Salah, it will still be players who will not be as consistent, right? But Trent, you can replace with, stronger assets, right? From 7 million, you come down to a Trippier, you come down to Pope, you come down to Reece James, right? We see a Cancelo, right? You see a lot of assets now available who are giving you consistent points. So we might see someone regain form, but if you have to sell one, I think it's more sell Trent rather than sell Salah.
Also, speaking on this line, there's one more thing which probably I almost forgot to mention. So, this Robertson injury update, that's something to watch out. Probably if that is at the bare minimum 2 to 3 weeks at least, then Simicast would be a really good option. Someone who wants to explore in the wild card, probably just get him, put him on the bench and see it out for next week. So, that is also an interesting option. Or you can downgrade from Trent to Simicast as well, going forward if Robertson injury is something serious.
Just cover Liverpool defense.
Yeah.
I think Robertson will be back post the international break again.
That's what Klopp said.
Yeah.
So
just something to watch out in case.
Yeah. I think he will play. He'll be back. So that's not a problem. Robertson has never been injured very for a long time. Yeah. Only we had once that happened last season at the start with Simicast hauled, luckily for us, but Robertson was back. So that was one thing. And the next question here is, I think, will Emerson start or Soufal is a safe pick? So I think, yeah, we have a doubt there. I think Cresswell might be back is what we're looking at this point. So he might come and take his place, right? So I think Soufal might end up being the better pick.
Yeah, safer pick for sure. Soufal is the safer pick. But a lot of West Ham, fan base, they keep saying that Cresswell has lost his form. Emerson looks far more attacking. And Moyes is looking to rejig the squad. So if you're taking a 4 million player, there will always be a risk, right? That's something that we have to move with. Even for Neco Williams, by the way, today Nottingham Forest announced that they have signed another player. I think the 501st player. But it's Serge Aurier from your ex-Spurs player who's come back. And he's going to attack Neco Williams for his position now. So, no 4 million defensive defender position is going to be completely safe. There is always going to be an element of risk. Emerson feels a good punt, but it is always going to be a punt.
I would concur with the same. Emerson is a better pick for that price. If you are considering Soufal, I would say for the same price, probably go for someone like Fofana if he's going to get minutes from next week onwards. better team, better defense.
Yeah, so the 4 million defenders are more or less, obviously for the price you're paying, you're taking the risk. I think there's Patterson who's 4.1 now. So I think, I don't know whether he might keep up his place. So we will see on that. So the next question is, take a minus 8 or take a minus 8 to get the team I want or wild card? Well, that's again, it's a very team-dependent question, right? So that's what we've been seeing. So if you're able to field in 10 players with a minus 4, just I think, obviously people are going to transfer Trent and Salah, and you're going to get those two key players back in your for this week with KDB and all. So if you are able to do that, I think you can get away without wildcard is what I'm thinking. But if not,
I'll put it this way. If you're planning to wildcard next week itself, it doesn't make sense to, you know, take a minus 8. Probably a minus 4, probably, yes. But minus 8 is a bit of a stretch where you can cover, you know, this week and, you know, a medium to long term as well with the wildcard this week. So that would be my perspective.
Yeah. So if you're wildcarding in game week 13, I think minus 8 makes sense. If you're wildcarding in game week 9, why do it, right? Do it now. Put your wildcard now and make the same thing.
So, there's another question, two questions here. Apart from Trippier, who is more nailed defender from Newcastle? I think we did say that it's Fabian Schär, Dan Burn, Sven Botman, and I think Matt Target is back. So, these are the names. I think Botman, Schär, and these are the two best, I would say. Then Burn. And obviously, Trippier is the best option there. So, that's done. Chelsea backline, we did speak briefly. Obviously, Reece James is the ideal player. Then you have Cucurella, who's reunited with Potter again. Chilwell also, we don't know what will happen there. Fofana, Koulibaly, Thiago Silva, Azpilicueta here and there. But I think James and Cucurella might be the two players at this point. I think this better to, you know, pick them and, you know, go ahead. So I think that definitely covers the Q&A section, unless we have some other
questions.
Yeah, that's what I'm just checking here. We've not got anything new here. So, here's this one which I'm going to pin here. I have two free transfers planned to Salah, Jesus, and Cross for a hit to KDB, Mitrovic, Madison, or Kulisevsky. Or should I only do Salah, Cross, no hit to KDB, Madison? I think the second one makes sense.
I would opt the first one, you know, like-to-like replacement for someone like Salah, and it's just for a minus. If it is just for a minus four, yeah, KDB, Metro, one of Madison or Hulu, I think all good options for this week. And you can, if you just in case, if you have a little bit money left in the bank, if you want Salah straight back in, you can do that as well.
I would be like, you know, Jesus is playing this week, right? Why move him out for a minus one? That's the difference, right? I'm not sure that Mitrovic outscores him by 4 points. Right? You might do it for a long-term point of view, right? Because you are fearing price rises, but price rises don't come into play during the international breaks, right? So you have that time. Either you do it next week or you do it a couple of weeks later, right? The only, I think, issue is they do have a good fixture this week, right? But 4 points seems like a lot for a Mitrovic.
Yeah, so I think if you obviously Jesus Mitrovic, I think it's doesn't make sense to do that sideways move with both of them playing the game. So
rather
ship out players who are blanking. That's our blank game. Sorry, we're blanking. Okay, so I think we're done with most of the games. I'm just going to scroll down here. Best Diaz replacement till game week 12, and yes, Ponchamer in the pipe.
Madison for me.
Yeah, even I would say Madison. Though it is Arsenal, I think that makes sense. There's not much in that price segment that you can go.
Yes, I think I stick with the same answer. So then future, you have Sancho, other players and all here and there. So you can just swap.
You have multiple options in Zaha, many options open up.
So this is the next question. Would you play Ward or bring in Pope for Sanchez for minus 8? I'll be taking minus 4 Vijay Mitrovic, free transfers are out of KDB already after PR. Akhil, here I think.
Yeah, I think minus 8 is a bit of stretch. I would rather play Ward, you know, hope there is a bit of save points here and there, you know, even if there is not a clean sheet.
So this is the follow-up, the same comment. He's concerned that Sanchez is playing Liverpool and he's already used his wild card. So that's why he's justifying to get in Pope, I think.
So for me, does Pope outscore Ward by 4 points? Probably yes, right? They're playing Bournemouth. Probably yes, right? And it's a long-term move. This feels a bit closer to me than the Jesus Mitrovic thing. Because I don't see them keeping a clean sheet away at Spurs, for sure. I think it's a one-pointer. You know, he'll concede more than 2 goals, right? So, you're just playing around and hoping that Pope gets a clean sheet. And there's a good probability they do, right? So, I would do this. I'd be like, okay, you look at it purely from a 4-point, pure, you know, one move that you're looking at. Don't look at minus 8. Look at that minus 4 move. What to Pope for minus 4 makes sense. Just do that.
Yes. Actually, we've got one comment because of the background. There was a noise here. There was some disturbance from one of our ends here and there. So, I apologize. We're doing our best. But, you know, sometimes mics, they pick up noise, even a feeble, faint noise also. This is how mics are nowadays. So, you have to be very, very extra careful. So, there's one thing. This is the next question. This is KDB and Leon Bailey. KDB Bailey or Foden Bowen? Then, what was I think the first one is straight away, yes. Foden Bowen, don't know. Foden might be benched. Bowen might blank. So, rather go with KDB. So, that's
true. Yeah.
This is another one here. Is KDB and Isak or Kane and Foden?
This is a tough one. Yeah.
I think it's more or less KDB versus Kane. Who you want? So, if you feel Haaland will cover KDB's points, you get Kane. But if you go with Kane, if you want Salah back, that route you need to plan now only.
Yeah.
How you going to do it?
So, that's the tricky thing. And also, the other option is if you have both Haaland and KDB, you most probably going to end up captaining Haaland. You're not going to throw your armband on KDB. You know, at least if you have Kane, you have that alternate option. Let's say for this particular week, probably Leicester home, it's a much better fixture on paper for Kane. So that gives us an option. But as Aditya mentioned, switching back to someone like Salah would require a couple of moves. So you need to make sure to plan that. So it's between them. So who do you want? Based on that, you can pick the other one.
So, for me, it's a short-term versus long-term thing. Like you said, if you ask me this question next week, I'll very happily say, you know, KDB and Isak, right? It's just that this week, Kane feels like that alternate differential captain move. And so, the question you have to ask yourself is, do you captain Kane this week, right? Doing this, are you going to do that, right? If yes, then I think it makes sense. If you're not looking to captain Kane, then just take the long-term, right? But for me, wildcard is always your 3-week, 4-week move, right? Don't look at purely this week, right? You might have Sun scoring a brace and Kane doing just a couple of assists, right? And that KDB Haaland combination is looking just good, you know, just looking better and better, right? So he might not give you a double digit, he might not give you a 15 pointer like Kane can do, but he can give you consistent 8 pointer, 10 pointer that no other player is looking to give other than Haaland, right? So long term for me looks like, you know, KDB is the solution, but if you're looking to captain someone other than Haaland, then you can do the Kane route. That's for my view.
So I think we're done answering most of the questions. We'll quickly run through our teams and our drafts. So this is Sankam's bus team as he spoke about. So these are his planned moves. Trent to Newcastle defender is going with double Newcastle defense. So that might end up being, I think, Botman or somebody else here and there. Obviously, he's mentioned Gross to Bernardo and he's doing Darwin to Kane. And with that, I think he might end up going captaining Kane. I know what Sankam is going to do that. He's going to go Kane versus Leicester. So I think I have covered his part now only. He doesn't need to answer.
Yeah, it's done.
Done. So we'll go next to Suresh's bus team. And Suresh, are you going to flip a coin for wildcard or not?
No, I think I'm most likely going to stick with my two free transfer plus a hit. It's most likely going to be Greenwood out for Kane, Salah out for budget midfielder, and I'm just thinking if it is going to be Trent or Cucurella to remove based on the budget. You know, it'll be one of the two. So that's the plan currently. Probably the Walker news, if I get something on Walker, if he's going to be fit, probably if he's going to play anything of that sort, that'll put in a little more confidence of, you know, sticking with the plan and wildcarding next week.
I don't think Walker is playing.
I'm just having my fingers crossed. He's been selected for the national team as well. So let's see.
Then he will withdraw. Come on. These players do it very easily. They go there and they come back also. So
true.
So this is his Suresh's wildcard draft. We've mostly covered all the players you can see up here. It's Pope, Ward, Reece James, Emerson, Neco Williams, Canseco, Trippier. Kulu is a pick. I don't know whether he'll play or not. Pereira, Foden again is a question mark. Gordon, Martinelli, Kane, Mitrovic, Haaland. I think it's straightforward. We've covered this entirely for the last an hour or so. Next, we'll go on to my bus team here. This is my...
I just wanted to add, sorry. Someone here was asking about the free hit squad. Unfortunately, we have not made a free hit squad. But even if we make one, I think it will be very close to Suez wildcard draft.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I will pin this question also and meanwhile answer in a few seconds. So this is my bus team at the moment. I have my plan is to transfer out Salah for KDB, Trent for Trippier, and do I think DS to Bowen or Madison. I have just put Bowen for now and keep the funds with me. And then I decide if I wildcard next week or pocket the wildcard also. So we don't know. We'll see what's going to happen. So that's my bus team.
The only question to you guys, did this, you know, discussion help you guys to decide a bit on your wildcard move?
I'm probably, Sanjal, yeah, it did, I would say. I was already, as I told in the beginning of the pod only, I'm probably 70% in terms of, you know, doing the free transfer plus hit and wildcarding next week. So I think I'm going to retain because I don't want to rush into things and, you know, go ahead and wildcard in the last moment, probably tomorrow and stuff. But I'm hopefully would do good. Probably I'll get Salah with 0.1 cheaper next week, if at all that's the case.
Yeah, so in terms for me, I think I'm happy with just doing the free transfers here. Because then I can do Jesus to Isaac or Mitrovic also if I want next week, just with one free transfer, then survive the shorter spell, then hit the wildcard at 13. So I mean, more or less, see, this team is as good as wildcarding. Just 2-3 players are missing. Ooh. That with one transfer and a hit again, you can get away. And you can get Zaha.
You have the star player, Aditya. You have the star player of the wildcard, Bowen. So,
no, I said Bowen or Madison. I'm not sure that this is a placeholder for now. This is my wildcard draft. It's very similar to what we've spoken. The same, Pope, Williams, Trippier, Canseco, Bailey, Bowen, De Bruyne, Martinelli, Mitrovic, Haaland, Isak, obviously Emerson, Andreas, and all the other players. Same. There was one question about somewhere about 4.5 million defender, the best or something. Yeah, differential defender at 4.5.
We did
speak about Fofana, Botman, then.
Even a West Ham defender, yeah.
Yeah, you have Soufal at 4.4. Then I think you have someone. I checked the chat also and I checked the prices. James Justin is 4.3, but Leicester are awful defensively. And my favorite defender that I was seeing at the start of the season is Dalot.
Next week, right? Yeah. Anyways, we don't have a fixture.
Yeah. So I'm going to pin Surya's comment here because I think he won the penalty somewhere. I think did he win a penalty? What's the United score update? I don't have the game going on.
But I agree with Surya. I think it's a good pick, right? At 4.5, you just pick him. He's looking good attackingly. He's linking well with the attackers. I know with United fans, you have that, you know, thing that let's not go there, but they're looking good, right? So why not go there?
Yeah, so Varane and even I think Martinez also is 4.4. They've all dropped in prices. So you have Malassi also, that said, if he keeps up his place. So United defenders are there, but United fans will not, you know, put out their names because they don't want to be too optimistic. That's the thing. I think there are another two questions and then we'll wrap it up very quickly. This is the same one. We are more or less short term is option one, long term is option two, is what we said.
True.
In short.
Yeah.
And okay, this is one last one or the second last. So, oh my god, can't decide. Sterling, Saint Max, switching game. Okay, Saint Max is not fit for this.
He's
this
not
week.
Available. Yeah, I was gonna say. Oh, Maxim. So, I think you have to reconsider Maxim. You know, yeah, Sterling.
Yeah, so...
No, I think you have to entirely reconsider all the options.
Yeah. Just fiddle around with the funds and see what you can do because one player is out. If you had to... I think Kulu is someone who will keep it out because we're not sure whether he's lost his place to Richarlison or he's going to get rotated here.
I hope he plays. I still have so, it.
That's why. Well.
If you had to choose one, I think Madison. Yeah. Easy. Madison is a easy pick here.
We are all on the Madison boat and you can save 0.2 compared to Bowen. So, the Bowen is 8.1, right? If I checked.
Right. Bowen is 8.1.
So, I think with that, we have covered all the questions, the bulk of wildcard part, all the section, all the players here and there. Done our best to cover everything in about 67 odd minutes. So hopefully things go well this week and you know, we'll see how things go. So that brings us to the end of episode 11 of the podcast or the stream. Those who are listening in us in audio platforms, Apple Podcast or Spotify, drop us a rating, review, feedback. It will always help us a lot. Those who are watching us on YouTube, please drop a like, drop a comment. Do subscribe and hit the bell icon. You'll be notified whenever we'll be streaming. And yeah, we will be back maybe post the international break, looking at how things go on and maybe even see how things dramatically change for a Game Week 9 wildcard, whether we still are talking about the same players or we're going to ship out the players we get in now. So that's going to be interesting. So yeah, that brings us to the end. Hope you all have a great weekend. Enjoy your football. And yeah, we'll see you all post international break.
Best cheers, guys. Bye.